This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We got some Caps news on a player's future in D.C., one of the bigger names on the team, and what the club is thinking about that player's remaining days of their contract. We'll get into that at 5:30. Make sure you're listening right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny. Danny is in our Half Street studios. I'm out and about in Orange, Virginia at Meadows Farms Golf Course, where I was playing a little golf in a charity event, emceeing today. Danny actually playing some golf in a charity event as well. We're just a couple of golfers here on GND. The Nuggets are up 1-0 in the NBA Finals. Their mascot, you know his name, Danny?
Rocky?
Wow, how did you pull that?
I guessed. I mean, I'm not trying to be difficult. They're Colorado. It's like they're like, this is the note we play.
But
Rockies.
I'm still stunned. That's really well done, man. Good
Thanks.
For you. Here's my question that you won't get, I don't think.
All right.
So this says, Rocky, the Nuggets Mountain Lion mascot, reportedly earns, I'm not going to tell you the number just yet. I would imagine that means that the person earns that, right?
Okay.
Is that what they're saying?
Right, not the costume itself.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is like the costume makes that money or someone makes that money? What do you think Rocky, the Nuggets Mountain Lion mascot, earns annually?
Annual. Let me see. I'm thinking out loud here. So I'll say 24K, 300 a game.
Not a bad rate. I'm going to tell you an item of – I'm going to give you a little bit of perspective here, and then I'm going to give you another guess. Rocky, and I don't know how we got here, the Nuggets Mountain Lion mascot is the highest-paid mascot in the NBA.
Oh, it's very special.
Now I'm going to ask you the same question. Knowing what you know, armed with this knowledge that this is the highest-paid mascot in basketball, what do you think Rocky, the Nuggets Mountain Lion mascot, makes?
All right, so I'll up it, 25K. Now, how about – I'll say right even 100 grand.
100 grand. Wow, you're so low. $625,000 a year.
No. The mascot.
Yep.
Not the shooting guard. Not Ryan, like, you know, Ryan Brown from Kansas. The mascot?
Rocky, the Nuggets Mountain Lion mascot, reportedly earns $625,000 annually, making him the highest paid mascot in the NBA.
One question, what are we doing? The second question is it like some sort of weird NIL bit? Like, is he doing TikToks on the side for products? Is he doing branded? How in the world is that a thing?
That number is staggering. There's apparently a really good mascot documentary series, according to Axios, that you should watch and I should watch to get more information on how $625,000 is possible. It's on Hulu, and it's called Behind the Mask. It chronicles the trials and tribulations of sports mascots from high school to the pros. In or you out?
I might actually watch that.
I mean, it sounds great, right?
I really just need a few moments where somebody, like with a whiteboard, starts writing down information, and they go, okay, here's how we get $625,000. Again, it's absurd, but this is how it happens. Once I get that, I think I'm probably okay on the rest of it, but I would never have in a million years have thought that.
Based on 625K being a possibility, like in a world where any mascot is making that, I don't think anyone's making what you're talking about, which is like a couple hundred bucks a game.
That's what I figured it was. I figured it was like, you know, you got another job and you also show up at the park and do that.
So that's kind of my thought is like there's seven rotating people and whoever's not at their other job that day, like, oh, Steve's got a wedding and Frank's out of town and Susie has a dinner with her friend, so call Becca. If Becca wants to do it tonight, she's like, yeah, I'll take the $200. It's not that, apparently.
This I guess is it's like, not that.
This is full-time. This is $625,000. Good for you.
So the closest example I could think of that was similar to that was the St. Joe's in Philadelphia. Okay, they were in our conference. The St. Joe's Hawk. You got tuition. Like that, it paid for your tuition. But during games, you couldn't stop flapping. You know what I'm saying? Like there was no time during the course of the game where if you looked at the Hawk and his arms weren't moving up and down and I'm flapping and I'm a bird motion, if he stopped doing that, his scholarship was void. That was like the legend we always heard about the St. Joe's Hawk. And even that I found absurd. Like he's going to school for free as long as that you tear your labrum. You know what I mean? As long as you're like your shoulder capsules are pummeled at the end of every home game, but you're still doing it the whole time. Like, I thought that was unbelievable. $625,000. Career change immediately. I'm going to LinkedIn.
Which DC mascot is making the most money? Screech, the Nationals mascot. Major Tutty in year two. He's in his infancy. I would think he's still got some work to do to get on the level of these other mascots.
Got a lot of work to do.
The portly pig, Major Tutty, with the pillow in his gut. Of course, you got Slapshot with the Caps. Very, very popular. And Gee Whiz. I think this comes down to Screech versus Slapshot, and I might give Slapshot the nod, man. An institution in the nation's capital.
He'd be my highest paid.
I'm just trying to think of if all of them were at the same event, who's got the longest line. Maybe it's Screech because the Nats fan base is a little bigger. I'm not sure. That'll do it for the mascot portion of today's broadcast here on Grant and Danny. The question on the phones, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines for you guys. We're discussing the young players on the Commanders, and we're allowing you to buy stock in one of them right now. You're revisiting in a year to see how you did. Chris is in Hyattsville here on the Fan. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Danny, don't you know how many little Reagan Paulsons are in America that want a mascot to come to their birthday party?
He sleeps.
That's cha-ching right
there,
buddy.
Yeah, that is money. But I feel like that would go to the team, and you'd get like, again, the same kind of rate, like a couple $100 for
the
gig.
It's a side hustle. It's a side hustle.
But hold on, Chris.
You hide the mascot gear in your trunk of your car.
I'm going to let you finish, but it's like you're not asking. Like, let's say for the sake of argument, I was the mascot, okay? Nobody's asking for Danny Ruye to make an appearance. They're asking for the mascot to make an appearance, and that's owned by the Nats.
I bet you that mountain lion is taking flights to Dubai to entertain, sheikhs and whatnot.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Listen. You guys were talking about Jamin Davis. We all know there's a foolproof method to becoming an elite middle linebacker in the NFL. Number one, you have to have a dance when you come out on the football field where you look like you're having a stroke, okay? And then number two, you have to have an Eastern Motors commercial. And if you put those two things together in the same season, that's all pro right there.
It's a start.
That's how you begin.
You add in a pick six and 114 tackles, you're on your way.
Yeah. In all seriousness, though, buy on Sam Howell. Like, his stock isn't any lower. Every list that you read out there that we talk about has him 35th or 39th behind, the Giants' backup quarterback. It can only go up. He's got all the tools. He's got all the weapons. If you're an investor, I invest in Howell.
First of all, sick Jim Cramer reference. Second of all, we probably should have addressed that one, GP. Honestly, I mean, because locally, we're pretty excited about Sam Howell. We like him. But if it's from a national perspective, Chris Sims put him 39th ahead of Desmond Ridder on his quarterback ranking. Because that's not gospel or anything. But we're now doing the bit where we're kind of talking ourselves into this excitement because he doesn't have a bad sample yet. But that's a good point. Like, that's still a pretty valuable or potentially valuable thing. If you get league average quarterback play, like the 17th or 18th best quarterback in the NFL, A, it's an upgrade from what they've had. B, a fifth-round pick made good, that's a pretty good return on investment.
Yeah, if you believe that Sam Howell's going to prove himself a starting NFL quarterback to the point where at the end of this year, Washington is not looking for a QB, and he plays well enough that, number one, he's at least the short-term answer where he's getting another season as the starter, and number two, he plays well enough where he's the starter, and that means this staff is being retained and that means they're going to double down on Howell, then you won your investment. I mean, because the money right now, like in a betting sense, the odds of him being a starter next season and this group keeping their jobs, meaning no one comes in here and looks for a quarterback, is not the favorite. Like, you're getting plus money on that, right? The minus money, the odds are that because they don't win, whether it's Sam Howell's fault or not, they are firing everyone, and that new staff is looking for a new quarterback. So, yeah, if you believe in Howell and you really do think that there's a chance that he ends up becoming a long-term starter, it's now. Put your money down right now and buy that stock because it will return the investment. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington, who's on line three on G&D. Kevin, who do you think is going to be viewed much more favorably a year from now than they are right now on this roster?
Well, I'm playing it safe, not going all in like Chris just did on Howell, although Chris will win big time if he's right. Can just real quick, on the golf podcast title, how about Tavern Off the Green? Play on words on the Tavern on the Green in New York City.
I don't know enough to know what that means, but Danny might.
I know the Tavern on the Green, so we'd be the Tavern Off the Green.
If you're at the Tavern Off the Green, yep, you're having beers after the golf tournament.
I get,
right?
I smell what you're cooking there.
Is there food there? Can you get chicken wings?
Yeah,
there?
You can get that.
And there's food there for you.
All right, then I'm in, Kevin. Then that's fine.
All right. Who would I invest in? I think it's pretty clear. All the money, for the most part, is going to the defense. And that first-round rookie cornerback is very exciting, very promising, despite his slight frame. That was true with Darryl Green as well. This kid is a known playmaker. He's already showing up. And I just feel like he's the boundary corner we really haven't had. I mean, you know, going back to position flex, Kendall Fuller is terrific at a lot of spots, but, you know, he's not a pure boundary corner, although I think he's going to start opposite Forbes because I haven't been as impressed with St. Juice due to the injuries and the lack of turnover. So I think Forbes potentially is a, you know, an all-rookie corner candidate.
You know what, Kevin? The way that they've been talking about him, the folks that are at practices, and I don't just mean the media. Obviously, they've been reporting and kind of live-tweeting each of his PBUs and any big moments. But, I mean, the coaches and even his teammates, it sounds like he's turned a lot of heads in a short time. And everyone kind of says the same thing. The book on him is, it's very similar, right? It's, wow, that guy's tiny. He looks so skinny. Oh, my God, he just made another play on the ball. The ball skills are obvious, and they're showing up already. It does not take a whole lot of plays when you have his skill set to become popular and beloved and to get credit. Like, when you're a linebacker, your good plays are oftentimes in the middle of the trenches and you get a running back to the ground for 3 yards, right? When you're Emmanuel Forbes and you make a huge play, the offense comes back out on the field because you just picked off a pass, you know? Or maybe you return an interception 27 yards. Like, it's going to be very clear and obvious, Danny, if this guy is helping them.
No, I think you're right. This is also, though, and again, I'm not trying to throw cold water because this is the only data points we've got, but this is not what I was wondering about with Forbes. Do you know what I mean? Like, I am very curious when the Eagles are in, you know, it's a 3rd-and-3 and – you know, they pitch the ball, and he's got to step up and make a tackle. Now, the SEC tried him on this for years, and he held up and did pretty well, and he's still aggressive, and, you know, the 160-plus pounds or whatever it is was just fine. This isn't Sunday, though. That's where the NFL teams are going to try to test him with big physical corner or receivers or, you know, tight ends or guys in space trying to hit him and knock him around a little bit. Can you still hold up? That's the thing that I'm fascinated with. So right now, when guys are around in T-shirt and shorts and he's jumping routes and getting his hands on footballs, that's the skill set, and that's exciting. And I think there's going to be something where he's going to make a bunch of differences over the course of this year. I think they can live with the occasional slip-up maybe in the run game or something like that, because the bargain that they want to make is we need more turnovers, and it's the kind of bargain, by the way, it's what I would sign up for every time.
Yeah, I mean, if that was a huge priority, corners that could play the run, you probably don't take him.
Right.
There were other guys,
no,
right?
Yeah, it's a better
Banks
way to put it.
Out of Maryland, Christian Gonzalez who fell. Like, there's options there of some bigger, more physical guys. You take Emmanuel Forbes because you want game-changing plays, and frankly, it's pretty simple, interceptions. You know, you want takeaways. Let's go to George in Waldorf On the Fan, you are on Grant and Danny. What's up, George?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
About it.
Hey. So, yeah, I'm buying stock in Antonio Gibson, my friends. I'm letting you know right now, I think that if you let Brian Robinson handle the 11 and you take Gibby's skill set and put him in this offense with Eric and let him run and let him use him just as a chess piece and just move around the board, matchup versus matchup, and win, win, win. I'm buying stock in Antonio Gibson today, right now, at 5:16 p.m. Friday afternoon.
So here is where you're making a little bit of a risk. I love the call, and I frankly like that you're getting creative here. You are buying stock in something that has seen its stock shrink a couple straight years now, right? The best we've seen Gibson as a ball carrier, and it's not close, was his rookie year when he averaged almost 5 yards a carry. His second year was the most they used him in terms of, you know, quantity, but the quality was down. He's a 1,000-yard rusher, but he was right at 4 yards a carry. And for the second straight year last year, his yards per carry went down, and he had 100 fewer carries because Brian Robinson took over as their focal point of their running game. But he's talking about something a little different, I think, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about what we were promised, if you want to say that, or what we thought we were getting when they drafted the former college wide receiver. The usage in space, which they did start to do more of even with Scott Turner last year. Well, we could look to yards per carry going down and how many fewer carries he got last year. His targets and his receptions have gone up. 44 to 52 to 58 in three seasons. Catches, 36 to 42 to 46. Would you take the over or under right now, 46 and a half catches? I would take the over.
I'd take the over. I'd take the over.
And his point is, now it's going to have to be a huge leap for you to feel good about, you know, looking smart for buying his stock. But if Bieniemy views this guy as a multiple weapon, you know, a versatile option, a guy that they want to get on some choice routes against linebackers, why can't he be McKissick a couple years ago? Maybe he catches 15, 20 more balls. He's up over 500, maybe 600 receiving yards, 8.5 or so yards per catch. It would be a massive leap for sure, but what a weapon he would become, and that would be invaluable to this offense.
Yeah, they need that. I think that it's actually a necessity. They went and did another plotting between the tackles, not cutting, not quick thumper. I mean, Rodriguez's straight line speed, I guess, is fine, but I don't care about that. I want, as I've always said, I want six J.D. McKissicks. I want an endless army of guys that catch passes out of the backfield. It's so efficient. It's so important to do. Chris Thompson, J.D. McKissick, more of that. They don't have that. So the guy that catches the ball the best out of the backfield right now is Gibson. I think that's essential for this offense to go. I think he's got to do that.
Yeah, that's well said. I mean, said differently, like, what other role is there for you now, man?
Yeah.
They didn't draft Rodriguez. You could say he's a sixth-round pick, so maybe he's not going to be that involved. I don't think they drafted him to not play him. You're right. Like, it's not a change of pace from Brian Robinson, but they got a type here. It's like your buddy who shows up for dinner. You know, you have quarterly dinners every several months, and he's got a new girlfriend, but they all kind of look similar and similar personalities. It's like, okay, this guy's got a type. Like, they have a certain type of running back that they're looking for. Rodriguez is in that Brian Robinson mold. Those guys are going to get carries. And it's not like Gibson's going to get none. How can I be different than them? Maybe the answer is you can be the pass catcher.
That's the answer.
Just got a tweet here. You can hit Danny up at Funny Danny. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Trevor tweeted and said, I wanted to say that I love listening to G&D. It's one of my favorite sports shows, which, thank you, it means a lot. That's why I read it, just so we could put ourselves over.
Right, I mean,
bit.
It's pretty shameless, but I think it's a good call.
Nobody actually says, I listen from Richmond, Virginia. Today I'm on family vacation, and I've been listening on the way to the beach, and I'm always listening. I'm going to be listening on Monday when doing Monday cleaning. So our guy's on vacation,
yeah,
with water and the beach in the offing, and he is still listening to the show on the always free and available Odyssey app.
First of all, that's incredible. Second of all, that's more dedicated than I am, certainly, on vacation.
Yeah, you shut it down.
I love you, buddy, but we ain't chatting. But I'm not going to hear your voice until I pop that Comrex back up week number two. And it's like, so what did I miss? You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty amazing.
Well, in fairness, that's not vacation. That's just called after 6:30 p.m.
Well,
on any
true.
Given night.
It's a mini vacation every night.
You come back to life and start responding to texts again right around, like, noon the next day.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, Danny, it's 7:05 p.m. I've got a question. Danny will be back in the office. Automatic response. by 12:30 tomorrow.
My out of office is busy.
If you have an emergency and then you don't give a second person, you're like, you're out of luck.
If you have an emergency, tough break.
There is some Caps news I want to pass along. We can get to that next. One of their bigger players, one of the big question marks of the offseason, there's a report on what they're thinking about doing. So we will get to that on G&D on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. Yesterday we had Spencer Carberry on the show, the brand new head coach of the Washington Capitals. If you missed that interview, that conversation with Carberry, you want to grab the podcast. It was really good. TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio. Speaking of the Capitals, I saw this news today. I want to pass this along because this is a guy that, frankly, has been a lightning rod in this town for frustration for Capitals fans, and he's become one of the most talked about Capitals on this show over the last couple of years. The Daily Faceoff's Frank Saravelli reporting today that the new vision that this team has and part of the idea for what lies ahead with Carberry might be a club that does not include Anthony Mantha, the 28-year-old who's been a big disappointment since coming over in a trade for Jacob Vrana. And I think if you look at Mantha and what he was supposed to be when they acquired him with his size and with his speed, what they've actually gotten out of him, it's hard not to be frustrated. It's hard not to be disappointed. But there's so much potential, so much hope. Remember when we first saw they traded for him? In D.C., we were thrilled, and in Detroit, they were like, get this guy out of here.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you. Now we've become the Detroit fans.
Yep.
Where the next team's going to go, this size, this speed, this skating, this shot, this ability. Can't wait to try to see if we could be the team to get him right. And we're the Red Wings fans going, have him. But the Capitals have apparently, according to Saravelli, let teams know that they are ready to move on from Mantha. They're likely going to have to attach a sweetener to get him out of here and to trade him and to get out of his contract at this point. He carries a cap hit of $5.7 million. So I don't see a team picking up that number in full to trade for him, but maybe even, you know, they could pay a little bit of the money or they could attach something else, a pick or a player, and move him. That could be part of the plan.
You got to pay a tax, I think, yeah.
There's even a suggestion here, though, that it may be difficult to do a trade, so a buyout could be considered with the Quebec native. That is extreme to me. Not to say that I wouldn't do it outright, but I didn't think it was to that extent where they were just going to punt completely and buy him out. But we asked Carberry on the show yesterday how big of a priority it is to get Anthony Mantha straightened out, and he said, you know, it's high on his list. And today we find out maybe it's high enough on his list that he's concerned to the point where they might just not have him on the team.
Yeah, it's I don't think there's any straightening this guy out, right? Or I kind of don't believe that he'll buy in. You know what I mean? There are certain guys that tantalize and frustrate. Like, nobody's frustrated because that Nick Dowd had 25 points, but it's exasperating that Anthony Mantha had 27 because the skill is obvious. They just don't make people that big, that strong, that fast with those kind of, you know, offensive capabilities who just can't be found on a nightly basis. And you start to have to wonder, do you want to be here? What do you want? Like, what do you want out of this entire thing? And it didn't feel to me, now, Grant, listen, I'm not in the locker room. I that's not like I'm talking to anybody. I'm just watching Caps games like everybody else. It just sort of seemed like this wasn't that important to him. You know, like, that's the vibe it gave off. And when you've got a new regime coming in, you can't really have that. Even if it's not true, the perception was there that this dude was sort of, you know, doing his own thing and he doesn't love hockey and he's just out there kind of playing. That's just the way it looks, you know? Again, I have no idea if that's right or not. I'm not even trying to speculate about it. Just simply saying the production hasn't been there. The talent is, you know, you're trying to create some space. You're trying to change, you know, that, hey, this, you know, going to the, get to the first round of the playoffs and getting smacked around, not making it last year. We ain't doing that anymore. Who can I move on from? This is probably a name that you could.
So I'm not telling you, like, you're wrong or even calling you out because I think your point's correct. Like, I always get really leery about saying he didn't want to be here or he didn't care or whatever. But to your point, you're not saying that's the reality as much as you're saying that's the perception.
Yeah.
Which I think is a safer way to kind of hedge
that. That's better
that.
Said than I did. Thank you. More succinct.
But
no, you're right.
Like, you can – everyone that watched knew what you meant. Like, there's so much more in there that we're not getting. Why? Why is that? You could do this same game with Evgeny Kuznetsov,
100%,
by the
way. My next point, yes.
How is it possible that 2018 can happen where you carry this team to the Stanley Cup? And Ovi was very much deserving of the Conn Smythe and being the MVP of the playoffs. I thought Kuznetsov was better and maybe more deserving. I'm glad that Ovi won the award and the legacy changes a little bit from getting it, and it was significant. But Evgeny Kuznetsov in 81 games last year only having 50 points, 55 points I guess it was total, like that shouldn't happen, man. I'm not a plus-minus guy. He was a minus 26, which is a pretty gross number. But like that number in and of itself doesn't bother me a lot because I think plus-minus is overrated for the most part. I care more about other more advanced metrics. But Evgeny Kuznetsov, 55 points in 81 games? No, like something's not right. And either something's wrong around you or it's you. And when you watch Kuznetsov, there are just nights where he just skates around and he's a guy. Then there are games where immediately a couple shifts in, the Caps have a goal or two, he's been in the middle of everything, and he looks like one of the better players in the league. How is that possible? Like, I'm not going to sit here and question effort and drive, but I'm asking a question. Like, how is that a thing? If you gave the same, maybe it's not possible in a sport where you play 82 games a year. I don't know. It's not football where you get once a week and there's 17 games. I know in the NBA, guys take games off all the time. They don't do that in hockey. So maybe the version of that is that you can't quite exert as much. I don't know. I don't know what I don't know other than with Mantha and with Kuzi, it's so maddening to know what it is when it's good and to not get that to such an extreme extent.
Let me try it this way. Is Evgeny Kuznetsov really talented?
Yeah, one of the most talented players that's been here in years.
Is he producing like he's really talented? No.
Not last year.
There it is, right? I mean, so everybody knows. Nobody's sitting here going, again, it's not like I'm picking on our guy, Nick Dowd, but I don't know, I'll pick somebody else. Nobody's going, Sonny Milano, are you bleeping kidding me? Oh, that was nice. Everybody knows that Kuznetsov has world-class talent, has top 10, top 15, depends on your year, you know, NHL point-scoring ability. And when it doesn't happen, you're left working back from a result trying to figure out, how did we get here? How did we get somebody that, as you said correctly, 83 points a couple of seasons ago, more than a couple now, actually, but carried this team to the Stanley Cup, was as responsible as
anybody. How great
was he
in that run, by the way?
It was ridiculous, Grant. And I'm sitting there super frustrated with him kind of previously, you know, listening to really smart people who know more about hockey than I do, guys like Alan May and company, going, this guy should be the MVP of the league. If he gave a damn, he'd be the MVP of the league. Like, that kind of talk. And I'm
watching. He even has a quote.
Yeah.
And this is why. His quote that I'll never forget, and it's why I kind of question with him if we're getting everything all the time. I got to look up the exact quote. You remember it years ago, though.
Yeah, it was like, it's too hard to do this every night.
It was something like, he was asked, basically. He was the player of the month, I think it was, in the NHL. Like, the player of the month in the league or of the week a couple times at the start of the year. And he was asked by one of the local reporters about the fact that he had a chance to be in the conversation for, like, the Hart Trophy. And, like, hey, man, you could be an MVP of the league, like you were just saying. And he said something, I'm going to paraphrase, but it was something like this. Yeah, those guys, they have to exert everything they have every single day and have to care every hour of every day, and every game is the most important to them, and I just don't know if I want to be that guy. Again, I'm paraphrasing. But, like, that was a quote, and you always – I give a little bit of benefit of the doubt to guys where English is the second language and you never really know what's humorous and what's not. But, man, if that doesn't kind of resemble sometimes what you get out of him on the ice. Like, it's a what kind of mood are we in tonight kind of deal. The way I'll sum up Kuzi is Dylan Strome's a nice player. I really, really like Strome. They went and got him last year. They've already extended him. He had 10 more points than Kuznetsov last year in the same number of games. Come on. Really?
Right.
That's where we are? So the point of this wasn't to talk Kuzi. I think it ties in with Mantha. Because I'll say this. I think that the three most important decisions they'll make from a personnel standpoint, among guys on their own roster, not guys they'll be bringing in, are, I guess it's up to Backstrom, not the team, but what happens with Nicklas Backstrom? Not his fault. He got a lifetime achievement contract, but he is not as good as he gets paid to be at this point. Does he retire? Is he going to keep playing? I think he is. So if that's the case, that handcuffs you a little bit. Number two, Mantha, who we're talking about. Sounds like they want to trade him. They might buy him out. And then Kuzi. Would they be willing to trade him? Does Carberry think he's the guy to get to him? Because if you can maximize Kuznetsov again, you just got a lot better. You just found it. You know, you just made an unbelievable draft pick, number one overall. But if you can't, then Soto style, the best time to trade him is probably right now.
I mean, to me, the new coach, whoever that happened to be, and now we know it's Spencer Carberry, really enjoyed conversating with him yesterday. The biggest challenge you face were those three guys, and for dramatically different reasons for each one, right? Talking about Mantha, talking about Backstrom, and then Kuznetsov. Whoever can get through to Evgeny Kuznetsov, there's your coach, right? Whoever can reach that guy, that mega talent that's just going to bail you out. On nights when you don't have it, he can do something special. On those, you know, the other team's got a hot goaltender, or you get a bit of bad puck luck and a bad bounce that's the last game of the road trip. The special players can do something special to sort of save your bacon. He can do that. He's basically stopped doing that in sort of descending order since the Stanley Cup run, right? He's stopped being special. He's been a passenger. He's been pedestrian at times. Whoever gets through to that guy, that's your head coach. That's the most important thing that you're going to face. Then you add in the Backstrom part of the equation. Then you add in Mantha. You're basically talking about $23 million in cap space in a league that's not like the NFL. This ain't a $200 million cap league, right? It's a huge, huge, huge financial commit for three guys that, for different reasons, have dramatically underachieved here over the last several years. And again, for Backstrom, not his fault. He got hurt. You feel terrible about it. But how to fix that, that's the biggest challenge I think this regime faces.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. You want to react to any of that, you can give us a shout at 800-636-1067. If you're a Caps fan who either heard the Carberry interview yesterday, has some thoughts on some first orders of business here, we can take some of your thoughts next. Speaking of teams at Capital One Arena who have big decisions to make, the Wizards have started moving and shaking, making offseason moves in their front office. Still do not have a GM yet, though, and the draft is looming. Let's get into that next right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan. Danny is in D.C. I'm out at the Meadows Farms Golf Course in Orange, Virginia on a beautiful Friday before hopefully a weekend where you got something fun going on. Thanks for making this show part of the end of your week. Get into the Wizards trying to finalize their front office in just a moment. But Mickey is in Arlington. We're just talking about the Caps and decisions that lie ahead. Brand new head coach now. Spencer Carberry trying to figure out if he wants Anthony Mantha or Evgeny Kuznetsov, and with Brian McClellan, what they're going to do to round out this roster. Mickey, you had a thought on what we were talking about with Mantha and Kuzi, it sounds like.
I did, yeah. Hi, Grant. My whole thing that I'm hopeful for when it comes to Kuzi is that he just was sort of having a personality conflict that it sounds like a lot of the guys were with Lafleur. And that he sort of finds that special something again because he's not being sat. I don't know if you remember, he got sat and couldn't play in the game because he was 10 minutes late to practice one day, which he's coming from being like the most special guy in the Stanley Cup to being sat for, you know, tardiness. So hopefully that can change some things. I don't want to see him go.
You would not trade him?
Not until we find out if he is going to re-blossom, so to speak, under new leadership, which I think that if he's treated a certain kind of way and doesn't have his feelings hurt, which I know he should be a professional, but he is special enough for me to look past that he might just come back to life for us. And I want to at least, like, kick the tires on that before we make a decision.
It's reasonable.
So
yeah.
It is. It's a good call. And, like, here's the thing. It's a great point. I mean, this is so hard with guys that have been so good. Because what happens if you give up for 60 cents on the dollar? And to Mickey's point, he goes elsewhere and he becomes 2018 Kuz again and is the Conn Smythe on a team that wins a cup. Like, number one, it's annoying as a fan and it's frustrating. That's the least of the concerns. Number two, like, people lose jobs over that kind of stuff.
Oh, seriously.
You know?
Yeah.
You can't be wrong with those players. And I think this is what's smart about that call, I think, more than anything else. If it was the same coach and the same GM and the same group, it would be pretty crazy to try it again. Like, obviously, Laviolette's not getting through to him, or there's a disconnect. Something isn't working. But there is a new voice now. And to Mickey's point, like, what if Carberry is the guy who can touch the right buttons with him? Like, now, is it worth trying again because there is someone fresh and another set of eyes looking at this?
For a lot of folks, it will be. And here's the thing. This is the same group, though, management style, right? Not obviously with coaches, because there's been – he's had what now? Since Trotz, it's been – Reardon, Laviolette, now Carberry. But the GM, the big boss, is the guy that signed him to that deal. So giving him up for 10 cents on the dollar, you know, when he's got that kind of talent, you can't stand the idea of him doing it somewhere else. And my point is, you've done this with multiple head coaches and multiple systems now, and we're still here. We're still doing this thing of, hey, could someone make this guy give a damn? I'm more cutthroat. I say, thank you very much, fare thee well. It wasn't going to happen here. And if it happens somewhere else, you know, good for them. I'll move on. I'm going to field the roster as it is. But I totally understand, not the temptation, that's not the right word, the reservation about unloading a talent like this and having it, you know, explode in a major way somewhere else.
I think this is one area where you and I would be really different as executives. Mm-hmm. You would get rid of guys occasionally too soon. I would get rid of guys probably too late. If that makes sense.
It does. No,
but
seriously.
But you know who's more on my side, which is not to say it's right. This has been good at times for him and really bad at times. His Leonsis does seem very patient.
Yes.
Very willing to keep going back to the well, especially with his stars. And maybe that, you know, as I'm kind of workshopping this out loud with the help of Mickey's point, like, that might be enough to think, okay, maybe Ted says, that's my guy. Like, we're Kuz guys in this family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Beal's his guy. I keep going, please, oh, my God, enough with Bradley Beal. Stop paying him. How many contracts and super-duper, uber-duper supers can you give him? Maybe, if this really does come down to just an urgency, so to speak, and whether or not you're willing to try again, like, he has proven with coaches, with GMs, with star players, he's very patient. He's the anti-Danny Ruye in that regard.
Totally, and there's a degree of, we got to see this thing through. Like, I'm not cutting guys, you know, I do some shtick here and there, but I don't cut guys like after a week or days or trade people away, you know, willy-nilly. But I'm more on the side, just as you said, of doing it a year early rather than a year too late. And there's only so much I can do to make you want to. You know what I mean? Like, the other stuff I can try to coach. We can try to improve your habits. We can get you a dietitian or a massage or, you know, get your eyes checked. We'll do a lot to try to see it through. If it's just not happening, and I feel like, and again, I'm putting my own feelings on this. I have no idea if this is the case or not. But if I feel like it's because you don't really care that much, I can't abide that. That one tilts me like it's nobody's business and you got to go.
And the question is Carberry able to make him care more? You know, because they have not been able to the last couple of years. But I wonder if Ovi's feelings are a factor in this at all, too. I mean, they've been very close. When you see oftentimes posts on social, like a lot of the Russian players kind of stick together. I wonder if they would go to Ovi and what his advice would be on this and how important it is. You know, Backstrom's a big part of those two guys being together, of him chasing down the record. You know, he's going to be an assistant GM of sorts and have some say on the roster, you know, what he might say. Speaking of GMs, the Wizards still need one. We'll get into the Wiz, and then we'll go around the NFL after a week of teams being on the practice field. You're listening to Grant and Danny. We're taking you up to 6:30, and Nats pregame tonight on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.